you are, for what you've done, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do in the life of us. The blue. Hi, Tara. How are you? I didn't see you come in. Good to have you this morning. Tell your mom and dad we said hello. Grace is such a wonderful thing, and this morning I'm going to be speaking on grace a little bit. And you know, I had something else planned at the beginning of the week, and it's interesting how the Holy Spirit comes in and he speaks to you and he kind of leads you a different direction. So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Job 2. Job 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. That's Job 2, 1 through 6. And then also, if you flip over to the New Testament, we're also going to be reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. So Job 2, 1 through 6, and 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. As we were in Bible study on Wednesday night, a verse came to my mind, and it was like the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, that's what you need to speak on Sunday morning. You need to tear apart this so we can understand, because so many times we use this verse, and I fear that we don't always understand what the verse means. So you'll see that come out in today's message. So if you're there in Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, let's read that this morning. And the word of the Lord says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will I give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and I will curse thee to thy, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. He is in thine hand, but save his life. Turning over to 2 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, the word of the Lord says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And the terminologies, the part that I pulled out on Wednesday night was, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so many times we pull that out. But this morning I want us to understand exactly what his grace is sufficient this morning for. So the title of this message is Glad of our Afflictions. If you would bow your heads, we can go to the Lord and open the message. Father God, we come to you today, Lord Jesus. And we're asking for your anointing today, Lord Jesus. That it would fall upon me, Lord Jesus, that it would fall upon the congregation, that the Holy Spirit would come in, that he would be the preacher and the speaker and the teacher, and that your word from the Bible would move on the congregation, that it would touch their hearts and move in their spirits and touch them at their very soul, Lord God, and that you would be glorified, that we would point directly to you, Lord Jesus, and that souls would be changed, souls would be delivered, and people would be set free. In your name we pray, Lord God. Amen and amen. You know, I've given you the story before of the song Amazing Grace. The words, 'tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And I've told you about John Newton who penned these famous words. But you see, there's a part of the story that I didn't tell. And that's how John Newton became aware of what the grace of God is. You see, we talked a little bit about his life and what he did and kind of what drove him to write hymnals and to join the ministry. But the one thing that we didn't cover was the promise that God gave him in this song. You see, John Newton had personal experience, not only in life, but not only in ministry, but real, true personal experience. You see, there's a lot of things that we can know and we can understand, and we can see other people going through situations. We can see family members going through situations. We can see friends going through situations. But sometimes we don't fully understand the situation until we're standing in the situation. And at this point in John Newton's life, he was standing directly in the situation. You see, his wife that he loved dearly had passed away. And his prayer had always been that he would go before his wife. But the Lord didn't answer that prayer. So his wife died. She passed away. On this day, God's grace was sufficient for John Newton. On the day that she died, John Newton found the grace to go and preach a sermon. On the day preceding that, on the day after that, he found the grace to go and visit his church members and do ministry works. And on the evening of that, he found the grace to go preach his wife's own funeral. Can you imagine that? To not only go to a funeral of somebody in the body and how terrible it is, but to have to oversee, to minister at the funeral of your spouse, of your loved one. I couldn't imagine. You see, God provided the grace to John Newton at that point, and I believe it helped him pen these words. And later in his life, he wrote, "The Bank of England is too poor to compensate for such a loss as mine, but the Lord, the all-sufficient God, speaks and it is done. Let those who know him and trust him be of good courage. He can give them strength according to their day. He can increase their strength as their trials increase. And what he can do, he has promised, and that he will do it." You see, he found God's grace in that moment. And this morning, my goal for you today is that you will see God's grace in your moment. You see, your moment might not be today. Your moment might have been in the past, and you witness God's grace. Your moment might still yet be coming, and you need to call upon God's grace. This morning, my goal is to point out to you, by the word of the Lord, exactly what God's grace is. That way we just don't go around saying his grace is sufficient. Because I want you, the believer, you, the Christian, to know what grace is. You see, when we look at grace as taught by Paul, we see that two-thirds of the New Testament is covered by the word grace, or in Greek the word is charis. It's found in 14 of Paul's epistles. It's heavily clustered in the book of Romans, in the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, talking about grace. You see, when he uses this word charis in Greek, it actually means the basic sense of favor, of loving kindness. When it's actually pointed at somebody, towards humankind, it's undeserved favor. Have you ever experienced undeserved favor in your life? Maybe someone that you didn't even know give you undeserved favor. Maybe you're new on the job and a coworker comes up and helps you along. Maybe you're in school and you have to go to a new school and you get undeserved. Maybe you're in a big city, and I've been there before, and you're walking down the streets, and all of a sudden, someone comes up who is truly showing you undeserved favor by helping you find where you're going or trying to get you to where you need to be. See, undeserved favor, it's something that humankind does possess, and it is out there, but sometimes it's difficult to find. You see, the grace of God, as Paul refers to it, he refers to it in several different ways. He says, the grace of God. He says his grace. He says the grace of Christ. He says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that last phrase adorns many of his closings of his famous letters to the different churches. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, whether Paul did it as just a standard closing or whether maybe the Holy Spirit was using Paul in this to try to put together a link between Jesus and grace, or that divine messianic title of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, whenever we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should think of his grace. We should think of his mercy. We should think that his grace is sufficient for us. In 2 Thessalonians 1:12, it says, the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It indicates an inseparable bond between the grace of God and Jesus Christ. And again, as we've talked before, God and Jesus Christ are the same. They are the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And their characteristics are the same. God wasn't different in the Old Testament than He is in the New Testament. We can look at Jesus Christ looking toward in the Old Testament, and we can see God, the Almighty, the merciful God, the justified God, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. God is God. He has not changed. So we can see this message of grace throughout the entire Bible. It indicates an inseparable bond, the grace of God and Jesus Christ. You see, Paul understands grace as acting in accordance with God's own character, with Jesus' own character. You see, it's not just something that He has. It's not merely just a divine attribute. You see, because whatever God's character is, God is fully that. God is fully grace. When we talk about God, He doesn't have just a little bit of grace. You see, sometimes I'm guilty of having just a little bit of grace. When I see something on the news, I might have just a little bit of grace. When you're out and you're working and you're doing things in your life, you might have just a little bit of grace. But you see, God has all grace. He has all power. He has all majesty. It's not just a divine characteristic. God is God. Amen? It's not just a divine characteristic. Maybe we can understand it by saying the grace of God and Christ is the deity. It's not just a matter of God just having grace. It's a matter of Jesus Christ, of God, is grace. You see, when we look at it this way, this paints an entirely different picture. You see, because ourselves and our human minds, you see, our feelings change, right? Our moods change. Sometimes we're in a good mood. Sometimes we're in a bad mood. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God is not a manic depressant. Did you get that? God is not manic depressant. He doesn't suffer from the woes that we suffer of on this earth. God is God, and He has those characteristics all the time. And one of those characteristics that we're going to dive into this morning is the grace of God. Amen? We read in Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." The riches of His grace. You see, God is rich in grace, but we can't skip over the first part of that verse. You see, we find redemption in the riches of His grace. Amen? You see, we have to be redeemed to find the grace of God. You see, grace works on this earth, and grace takes a part in us coming to a salvation experience. But we have to come to that salvation experience to witness and to partake in the full grace of God. So, the redemption through His blood. What's that speaking of? Jesus Christ. What He did for us. His all-atoning work. His death. His burial. His resurrection on the cross of Christ. It's speaking of His blood. The forgiveness. You see, we've got to be forgiven. We've got to confess our sins. I know that the world doesn't like to talk about forgiveness today. I know that in many churches that forgiveness has even been taken out of what they preach. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I'm a sinner. I need His grace. I need His forgiveness. You're a sinner this morning. You need His grace and you need His forgiveness. You need Him to sweep in and you need that grace to flow all over you. And you need to find Him and He's going to pull you up and show you grace this morning. Because we need to hear about it. Amen? We need to know that we're saved by His grace. You see, it's all according to His riches of His grace. When we think about somebody worldly that's rich, what do we think? They want for nothing. You see, Jesus Christ doesn't want for any grace. He is rich in grace. He has all the grace that we need for anything that we have. You see, the process of faith and grace in Jesus Christ, His all-atoning, all-sin-cleansing, finished work at the cross, you see, this was the plan from the beginning of time for mankind. You see, when Adam and Eve were created, we can go back to the fall of man and we can see sin taking place again, a perfect atmosphere, a perfect world, sin coming in and overcoming mankind. But you know what? There was already a plan. Grace was already happening at that point. Amen? Grace was already happening. We get to the point where we're talking about the thorn in the flesh. And we talk about this thorn in the flesh that we read in 2 Corinthians. And, you know, when we think about a thorn, it gives us a vivid image. Have you ever been out playing, maybe as a child, or out in your garden or out working in the yard, and you get that thorn? You get that thorn in your finger. Maybe you stick your arm in and you get those thorns in your arm. Or maybe you run through a thorn patch and your legs get... We think about that thorn. We think how it pierces the skin, how it pierces the flesh, how it lodges beneath the surface and won't let go. Every move of the thorn, this thorn in our flesh, is a reminder of it. You see, you can't have a thorn in you and not feel it. You can't have a thorn sticking in you and not know it's there. You see, the cancer in the body, the sorrow in the heart, the child at the hospital, at the rehab center, the red ink on the ledger that said there's not enough, the felony on the record that reminds you of your past, the craving for whiskey in the middle of the day, the tears in the middle of the night, the thorn in the flesh. You see, that thorn is there. But you know what? God told us the thorn was going to be there. God told us the thorn was going to be there, but He tells us how to get rid of it. You see, we've pleaded so many times, Lord Jesus, take it away. Take that thorn out of me. Whether it be sickness, whether it be sin, whether it be infirmity, whatever it may be, we've pleaded with God, take that thorn away from me. Not once, not twice, not three times, many times, several times. You see, the Apostle Paul prayed three times. He prayed a sprint. Mankind is praying a marathon. But time is running out. You're getting weak. You don't know how much longer you can pray for this thorn. But we've got to understand exactly what the thorn is. You see, that thorn might radiate pain from the wound entrance. We've cried out to heaven to have it plucked away. But Jesus Christ said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient, child of God. My grace is sufficient, believer. My grace is sufficient for that thorn that's in your flesh. You see, I think that this verse is one of the greatest teachings in the Bible about grace. Very few words, but there's a whole lot that we need to understand here. As it regards the grace of God, as it regards our sin life, as it regards the weakness of the flesh, as it regards the sickness in the body, His grace is sufficient. You see, grace takes on an added dimension here. It's not just saving grace. You see, when we get saved, there's a measure of grace that's poured out to us. When we come to Christ, when we hear a gospel message and salvation takes place, it's a work of grace. Amen? Because we didn't deserve it. We were undeserving. But at this point, after we're saved, after we're believing, after our faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we think, what more grace can there be? Well, after that, I'm just going to name it sustaining grace. You see, we need a portion of grace that sustains us, that keeps us as a believer, that helps us keep our faith in Him. So we have saving grace, and then we have sustaining grace. And sustaining grace meets us at our point of need. You see, I don't know about you this morning, but I have a need. I have a need for Jesus to come and work in my life. I need His grace to move upon me daily, some days more than others. I don't know about you this morning, but some days things just don't quite go the way I need them to. Some days I wake up and have a bad day, and I need His grace to work on me. I need His grace to work within me. Some days I'm sick, and I don't feel like doing what He's told me to do. Some days there's situations in my life that I need His grace to work and move in me. I need this morning sustaining grace. I need daily in my life His sustaining grace. You see, sustaining grace meets us at the point of need, and it equips us. It equips us in the moment of our need. It equips us with spiritual authority and spiritual capacity to take on that challenge that life has brought upon us. You see, we need sustaining grace. You see, sustaining grace promises not the absence of struggle, but the presence of God. And believer, this morning I'll tell you that any day of the week, any day of the year, I would rather have the presence of Almighty God than anything else in this world. I need the presence of Almighty God in my life. Anything can happen in this world. Anything can happen in this fleshly life. If I have Jesus Christ, I know He's going to provide the sustaining grace I need. God has sufficient grace for me. You see, according to Paul, Paul said that he had sufficient grace for every challenge in our life. Now, sometimes we forget that as believers, don't we? Sometimes we only go to prayer when it's an emergency. Sometimes we only go to prayer when it's a big decision. I need Jesus Christ and His grace working every day of my life. I need Him effectually moving in me, effectually providing grace and mercy and all the other characteristics of God in my life. And when it's needed, when it's time, when I need grace, I don't want to have to go running for Him, amen? I want Him to be right there. Think of that person in your life. Think of that person when something goes wrong. Who do you call? What do you do? I want Jesus Christ to be right there. You as a church body, I want you to be strong in Christ. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is right there. I want you to have a relationship with Him. And that way when you need grace, He's just a word away. Amen. How much do we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus when we reach out to Him? I want you to walk daily in Him. I want you to find Him on a daily basis and know Him. That way, when you find this problem, and it's going to happen, in this world, something's going to happen. It's not a good thing to amen to, but it's true. Something's going to happen. You need to find Jesus Christ because He's got exactly what you need. You see, His grace is sufficient. And see, sufficient's a weird word, but the thing that we're scared of is the antonym of sufficient, which is insufficient. We're scared of the insufficiency. You see, insufficient is something that, you know, we might come up and say, well, I think the money's there. And the check comes back, insufficient funds. Well, I think I put enough postage on that letter to get it there. I think it's enough. And the letter comes back, insufficient. You might be working on your computer and your computer might come up and say, insufficient space. You might be on your smartphone and the smartphone might say, I'm sorry, Tara, no more text, insufficient space. Sorry. Insufficient. That's what we're scared of. Insufficiency. But I'm here to tell you this morning that my God, Jesus Christ, my healer, my sin cleanser, my salvation, my sanctification, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the lily of the valley, He's not insufficient this morning. He has grace in all riches, all glory, all power. He has everything that you need. Everything that you need. And grace is part of what you need as a believer on this earth. His grace is sufficient. Our God is not insufficient. Your prayers do not go unheard. You know, sometimes we think they go unheard, don't we? Sometimes we may go on for several days sometimes and we start to get antsy. Lord, why haven't you answered me? It's been 3 hours. But sometimes it drags out, doesn't it? Sometimes it drags out. His grace is sufficient. He hears your prayers. His grace is 100% sufficient. Everything you need. So, the question might be asked, how much grace is there? How much grace really is there? You see, if we take a sponge and we go drop it over here in the reservoir, if we drop a sponge in, is that going to pull all the water out? Not at all. If we take a deep breath in and we breathe the oxygen in that we need to sustain our lives, do we empty all the oxygen out of the room? No. If we go to the ocean, and I've been to both coastlines, and the waves crash in, does that stop the waves from crashing in? No, because just as soon as one hits the other one, I can look out and see. And this is a picture of God's grace. His grace is like waves unto us, coming in right when we need them. The phrase, He said unto me, you see, it refers to the Lord answering the prayer of Paul. You see, I need my prayers answered. But you see, in this particular scenario, He answered it. But, and this is just me, just let me talk about me for a minute. I don't know if the Apostle Paul wanted the answer. You see, sometimes we don't want the answer that comes forth. You see, but what God was saying here is, it's done. This is what I've decided. And it's a continuing result. So you're going to have to go with it. You see, sometimes we don't want to have to deal with that. Sometimes we go back to God, don't we? And we petition him. We pray. We put it in our thought life that, Lord, this situation, this thorn, this thing that's in my life, this sickness, this domestic issue, this financials issue, this work issue, this church issue. What? Things happen in the church? Yeah, they happen in the church. We need to pray, church. We need to pray about everything in our life. We want a different answer. You see, we petition for a different answer. But sometimes God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You see, when God told him this, he was more concerned about Paul. He was more concerned about Paul. He wasn't concerned about Paul's ministry. You see, so many times in life, we're concerned about the things around us. But we forget us. We forget who we are. God was concerned about Paul. He knew that if he could set Paul on the solid rock, he knew that if he could explain what he was doing to Paul, that if he could get Paul to the point that he needed him to be, that Paul's ministry would be just fine. This ministry is going to be just fine. You, the believer, if God can take you where he wants you to be, young person, adult, it doesn't matter. If you can get where God needs you to be, you're going to be just fine. That job situation, it's going to be just fine. That domestic situation, it might not be the outcome you need, but it's going to be just fine. The financial situation might not be exactly what you want to see, but if God can take you there, if you'll let him do the work, it's going to be just fine. You see, his grace is sufficient for you, but you've got to come his way. You see, again, he was more concerned about the person than the ministry. He's more concerned about you as the believer than he is everything else going on. He wants you to understand. He wants you to be fixed. He wants you to be embedded in who he is and what he's done, his character, his precepts. He wants you to know what he's doing. He knew that Paul's ministry would follow suit. When the prayer was answered, it could have been answered in several different ways. You see, he could have answered Paul exactly right then and given him the answer. Again, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm that way in my mind. Maybe I want a different answer. Maybe you want a different answer. You see, he could have waited days. He could have waited weeks. He could have waited months before he answered. The scripture really doesn't bring it out. But the point here is that God answered him. You see, when we petition in our prayers, we petition to take the thorn out of our flesh. We petition to take the thing out of our life. We petition to move that mountain in front of us. And we should. But we've also got to listen to what the word of the Lord says. We've got to listen to what God is doing in our life at that time. The Lord might have taken many, many months to answer him. We just don't know. But we can say that he did answer him. He did move in his life. Again, we see the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16 petitioning the Lord again. You see, we see him seeking the Lord several times regarding direction, not receiving an answer for, again, days, months. We just don't know. But when the answer finally came, he gave Paul the Macedonian call. You see, sometimes we have to seek him. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Sometimes it's not the McDonald's fast food world we need it to be, church. Sometimes it takes a little bit for the working of God, for the things to move in our lives. Sometimes God's moving things and you don't even know they're moving. Sometimes God is making plans and you don't even know the plans are being made. You walk in one day and all of a sudden, boom, the word comes forth. The Holy Spirit tells you what to do. And then when you look back at that situation, and somebody tell me if I'm wrong here this morning, you look back at a situation and you see how God was guiding every single step of the way. You see how he was molding and moving things and bringing them to fruition in your life. The individual, the believer's life, how he was changing your life, making things happen for you. But 6 months ago, 8 months ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, church, I'm here to tell you, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get things set up. God heard your prayer, amen? God hears your prayers this morning. He hears the prayers for healing. He hears the prayers for family members. He hears the prayers for domestic situations, for financial. He hears your prayers, and he wants you to continue to take them to him. Again, the scripture doesn't bring out how Paul was answered. Of course, we don't really have a way to know. We can only have conjecture on that. Possibly, the Lord might have spoken to his heart. He might have spoken to his heart. And I pray that the Lord speaks to your heart. I pray that you're listening, that your spirit is listening to what the word of the Lord is saying. It could have been through his own personal prayer life. It could have been through the word of the Lord. He could have went back and read that scripture in Job 2:6. It said, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is thine hand, but save his life." You see, he knew. Maybe the Lord even came down and spoke to him. It doesn't say. Maybe he had a dream. The Lord spoke to him through. We just don't know. You see, the Lord speaks in many different ways, doesn't he? He speaks to our heart and our mind in many different ways. But it's when it's him, we know it's him, amen. We know he's moving upon us, amen. We know he's working in us, and his grace is sufficient for us. But the idea is that however he came to Paul, however he told him, he did come and he did speak to him, and the answer was given. So this phrase, "My grace is sufficient for thee," it speaks of not only salvation, it speaks not only of the different types of grace that we talked about, but it speaks of sustaining grace. Sustaining grace. You see, it enabled him. It enabled grace in him at that point in time. It was the grace that he needed. You see, everything, every single thing that the believer needs is really a work of faith and grace. You see, your faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. Your faith can't be in anything else. If you're a believer this morning, I'm here to tell you that the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. There's only one door. You've got to come through him, what he did on his cross, his all-atoning, all-sin cleansing, completed work on the cross. Amen? Faith. Everything else is grace. Undeserving. We're undeserving. You see, I should have been on the cross. Those are my sins that I should have answered for. You should have been on the cross. Those are your sins that you should have answered for. Undeserving favor and undeserving grace. God sent his son to die for you. Amen? To die for you. You see, the things with Paul mentions, everything he mentions, everything that he went through, his grace only increased. And we think of the Apostle Paul. We think of being shipwrecked, of being beaten, of being persecuted, of this thorn in the flesh that he never really does tell us what it is. Could have been an infirmity, could have been a sickness, could have been a sin. He doesn't tell us exactly what it is. And you know what? It doesn't necessarily matter. It doesn't matter this morning that you know your best friend's sin. Amen? You need to amen louder than that. It doesn't matter this morning that you know your best friend's sin. It doesn't matter this morning that you know the gossip of the church. It doesn't matter this morning that you know the gossip of the church across town or the church across state. It matters that you know who your Savior is and that he knows what your sin is, and you better repent to him this morning. Amen? You see, his grace was sufficient. But everything that Paul went through, everything that we go through, his grace increases. The word grace is just a blessed word, and it's in its full meaning. It refers to the Lord's undeserved favor toward one who as a sinner has deserved the very opposite. Undeserved favor toward one who was a sinner, and deserved the very opposite. You see, we deserved to pay the penalty that Christ paid, but he went there for us. It's boundless favor. Remember when we opened the service, we said that one of the definitions of grace was favor. It's boundless favor. It's pardon and it's peace. It's support and it's deliverance. It's comfort and strength. It's assurance and hope. It's joy and it's every gift that we have on this earth. That is a work of grace. Grace cannot be insufficient. It didn't abandon Paul. It was mightier than the thorn in Paul's flesh. It was mightier than the message of Satan. It supported him in every ordeal. And believer, I'm here to tell you this morning that grace is going to support you in every ordeal. The operation of faith and grace in your life is going to support you through every ordeal. There's some of you this morning that are a little bit older than me. There's some of you this morning that are a little bit younger than me. Those that are younger, I'm here to tell you, his grace is going to support you. Those of you that are older than me, I need you to remind me that his grace is going to support me. Those of you that have been walking with the Lord, I need you to remind me that his grace supported you through every step of your life. He planned it for you. He made it happen by his divine hand. He worked it in you. Amen? His grace is sufficient. It's not going to abandon you. So how? Brother Chris, you keep saying his grace is sufficient. How is it sufficient? You see, grace is parceled out. It's handed out. It's given out to the apostle and to the believer at the time of the need. At the time of the need. You see, if God gave us everything in the beginning, we wouldn't trust in him. If you give your children everything they need as soon as they're born, if you buy them a car at age one, they have everything they need. There's not going to be any. They know they got it. God hands out the faith. He hands out the grace. He hands out his gifts exactly when you need them. His grace is sufficient to keep you standing. You see, every time Satan struck a blow on Paul, every time Satan struck a blow on Job, every time Satan strikes a blow on you, his grace is sufficient. We read there that the word buffet, and this isn't the buffet that we go down to Ryan's Steakhouse and eat, amen? This word here, used here in Greek, means to smite with the hand, to maltreat any way, to deeply afflict. You see, I don't know about you this morning, but there's some things in my life that have deeply afflicted me. When I was a young person, there were some things in my life that deeply afflicted me. When I grew up and became an adult, there were some things that deeply afflicted me. When I go on, I'm sure there's going to be some things that deeply afflict me. But his grace is sufficient. He's got enough grace. He's rich in grace to supply my need. He's rich in grace. You see, he doesn't provide too little. He doesn't provide too much. He's not early and he's not late. The Lord answers exactly when you need it. The Lord's answer to Paul was not removing the thorn. You see, many times as believers, we simply want that thing removed, don't we? It hurts. It's deep affliction. We want that buffet removed from us. We don't know why it's there. We didn't deserve it, maybe. Maybe we did. But we want it removed. But you see, that wasn't the Lord's answer to Paul. It wasn't the Lord's answer to Paul. But why? Why should this be? Why wouldn't God simply, could he do it? Sure, definitely. He could do it any time. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. Why didn't he remove it? Why doesn't he remove the thorn, whatever it might be, from your flesh, from your body? You see, to those that know God, to those that believe in God, that would be easy for us to believe. That's a lot of times what we're taught, that God will just remove it, that God will just take it away, that God will just remove that thing, that God will just give whatever you need at that time. And praise God, sometimes God does give exactly what's needed at the right time. But then we sit in those hours and we wonder why, Lord, where were you there? He was there, trust me. He was there moving and acting and working on your behalf. It's just not what you needed at that time. You see, he's trying to build discipline in us. He's trying to build trust in us. He's working on the faith aspect in us. You see, he's building faith and grace in us because that's the process he designed. You see, the railroad, they use a device called a derailleur. And when there's a train on the track and that train's not operating correctly, sometimes they derail that train. And that throws that train off the track to save it for whatever reason, to protect other trains. You see, God has his own derailing device, doesn't he? Sometimes he sets us off to the side, doesn't he? Sometimes, whether it be for correction, whether it be for healing. You know, I'm a big fan of healing, especially your spiritual healing. You see, we receive so much junk from the world today. We receive so much junk from the church world today that sometimes when we come back and we find the gospel, when we find Jesus Christ again, when we find that we're reading his word and somebody's actually preaching his word and teaching his word, sometimes we need to heal inside. Maybe not you, but I know I went through a time of healing because I had a different view on what church should have been. I had a different view on what this word of God, you know why? Because I didn't know him. I knew of him. I had a false salvation. I had a false religion in my life. And he set me aside and he healed me. And he did it 100%. His grace is 100%. He can heal you this morning, body, soul, and mind, 100%. 100%. But it's only if you come through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of everything you need today. I want to say it again. Jesus Christ is the source of everything you need today. What he did on the cross is the source of everything. Maybe you need a financial miracle this morning. It's in him. Maybe you need a new house this morning. It's in him. Maybe you need a car this morning. Maybe it's in him. Maybe you need something that I haven't mentioned, something that's personal to you. It's in him. If you'll come his way, if you'll come by the message of faith and grace, you'll find it in him. Your answer is in the cross. Give the Lord a hand this morning. He's doing it for our well-being. Faith and grace for our well-being. Moving in our life. Not removing the thorn, but providing what it's needed to endure the thorn. You see, strength and weakness is a weird thing. Because on this earth, we put them in separate buckets. And we reverse them to what the Word of God tells us. The phrase, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." You see, that's an odd phrase. That's not a phrase that we would use today. If we would go ask the biggest preacher in the nation, "Are you strong?" What would he say? "Yes, I'm strong." "Is your ministry strong?" "Ministry strong." Yeah. You go find the biggest, toughest football player on the Ohio State Buckeyes. "Are you strong?" "Yeah, I'm strong." "Yeah, I'm healthy." Yes. But see, the word of the Lord says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." In weakness. You see, this is God's manner of grace in our life. What did the Lord mean by this statement? You see, the truth is, when it comes to flesh, when it comes to this earthly walk, all believers, not some, all who have fallen short of the glory of God, all believers, me, you, every person sitting in a pew this morning, in any church in America, any church in the world, we're all weak. We're all weak. The problem is our flesh. The problem is that we refuse to recognize who he is and what he's done for us and the power that he's given us. And you see, that's what it's all about. When you come to Jesus Christ, when that sanctification process starts, that pride of man, that pride of human, that pride of who we are, the Holy Spirit starts chiseling away on it right away. That weakness comes. And inevitably, the Holy Spirit starts drawing out that weakness, doesn't he? He finds that weakness. See, that weakness in me is not the weakness in you. The weakness is you is not the weakness in your neighbor. He starts to find that weakness. That's the problem. You see, we've got to realize that whatever needs to be done in our hearts and lives cannot be done through a work, cannot be done through flesh. You can show up at this church every day of the week. You can read your Bible every day of the week. You can take communion every time we're here. You can pray and fast as much as you want, and all those things are biblical. But the simple work of those things in your life, the simple work of wanting to get up and do, is not the answer. The answer is him. The answer is letting him do the work, because your flesh cannot overcome it. By flesh, you cannot. You are weak. In perfect weakness, you're strong. You see, we cannot do it. We cannot bring about the change. We cannot bring about the sanctification. You see, we are sanctified, but we're also being sanctified. You see, the Holy Spirit picking out things every single day in us to continue the sanctification process, but he's got to do the work. We've got to depend totally and completely on the Lord. You know what? That was the intention from the beginning of man. He wanted Adam and Eve to depend completely on him. He wanted Cain and Abel to depend completely on him. He wanted Job to depend completely on him. He wanted Moses to depend. He wanted Israel to depend completely on him. He wanted all the prophets of old and all the apostles of new to completely depend on him. So if he wanted them to completely depend on him, why wouldn't he want you to completely depend on him? That's the message of this word. It's all about him. Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 22:21. You've got to depend on Jesus Christ, because he's the only way. Your faith and your grace has got to be in him, and it's got to become from him. And all of the things come through that process. All of the things come through that process. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, we like that first part, don't we? My grace is sufficient for thee. We like that part. That's good, isn't it? My grace is sufficient. But sometimes we leave the rest of it out. You see, the first phrase would have been enough, but God went on to clarify exactly what he meant. He gave us an explanation. And you see, in Greek, the phrase, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness," would better have been translated, "For the power is brought to its finish in weakness." For the power is brought to its finish in weakness. And when we look at that word finish, and I don't have time to go into it all this morning, I want to hurry. That word finish, that's the same word that was used in John 19:28. It is finished. It's the same exact word. It is finished. You see, we're made perfect in weakness. His power is brought to finish in weakness. It literally means that the work is now finished. You see, when he's brought you to the point of weakness, when he's brought you to the point of the end of you, when that thorn in your flesh has gotten to you so much that all you can do is call out on the name of the Lord, the work of grace is completed. That portion of it. The work of grace has done its job, and it's going to move on, and it's going to continue. You see, there's not only favor in grace, but there's power in grace. We are made perfect in grace through him. You see, the task is finished. Now, we read that, and we could say, well, Lord, your work is made more perfect? No, God is perfect. From the beginning of time till right now, where we stand at this second, God is perfect. We cannot make it any better. He's not going to change his word. God is God, and he's never going to change. Amen? His word is perfect. But it's the power of the work that is done in me that is made perfect. It's the power of the work that is done in you that is made perfect. The work is happening in you. He's already completed the work on Calvary. Now that work, that same power that raised him from the dead, if you've been here on Wednesday nights, that same power that's raised him from the dead is working in you, atoning for you, sanctifying for you, providing grace for you, providing everything that you need to the believer. He's brought you to the point, if grace has done its job, he's brought you to the point where you realize that the task is finished, that you're at the end of your rope. You ever been at the end of your rope? I've been there a few times at the end of my rope, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know the answer. I didn't know the next move. But you know what? Once I learned who he is and what he's done, I knew all I had to do was walk with him, that I had to walk in the Spirit, that I had to understand who he is and what he's done, and he's going to provide everything I need. Amen? This morning, believer, if you're out for a decision, if you're looking for a decision, if you're going around searching, find Jesus Christ. He'll help you. Find Jesus Christ. He'll understand you. He'll provide the grace needed for that specific moment. But you see, there's still work that needs to be done. And that work's going to continue. See, the work of grace is a continual process. The work of grace is provided every time you need something. Every time you need something as a believer, the work of grace provides the power that's identified with grace. You see, the Lord's grace possesses power. It operates through us and in us. You see, when we provide grace, we don't have a lot of power behind it, do we? Again, we might see something on the news and say, wow, that was really rough. Did you see that car accident? Did you see the fire? Wow. Maybe we even take it one step further and we go down and we say, how can we help you? Can we give you a place to stay? But you see, that power is still limited, right? Your own children, your own family, that power is only limited. You see, there's power in grace, and God has unlimited power and unlimited grace, and that grace is powerful. It's working in us and through us and changing us, and he is the source. You see, the structure in the Greek shows that the thorn that was given to Paul, the thorn that was given to Paul was given as a gift. Think about that for a minute. The thorn that was given to Paul was given as a gift. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, counted it as a blessing. Think about your thorn this morning, whatever that is. How is God going to use that in your life? How is he going to change you? How is he going to mold you? How is he going to use that to change your sphere of influence? How is he going to use that to draw you closer to, because that's the ultimate goal, right? That we find him If we're believing in Him, if we're operating in grace and faith, we should be finding Him. That's the ultimate goal, that He draw you closer to Him, that you find Him. So this thorn was a blessing, and it was a gift, and it became a wonderful instrument. You see, the Apostle Paul, we talk about him all the time, but when you write that many books of the New Testament, we have to know that the guy was used by God, amen? We have to know that the Holy Spirit was working in him and through him. You see, God took him down to his lowest point, to his weakness, and used him. And Paul considered it a gift. Glory in our infirmities? How can we do that, Brother Chris? How can we glory in my infirmities? You see, it says, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities. You see, it presents the apostle not only having been shown this by the Lord, but gladly, and not only gladly, most gladly, accepting this. And because he accepted it, he benefited by it. Paul discloses his deepest secret as an apostle. How many Christians do you know this morning that would expose their deepest secret to you? Their deepest, darkest secret. When we look around and we look at the big names in ministry, how many of those ministers, how many of those ministries would expose their deepest, darkest secret to the world? The Apostle Paul, the man that the message of the cross was given to, 14 epistles in the New Testament, planted several hundred churches, exposed his greatest and deepest affliction. You see, we wouldn't do that. He found strength in his weakness. You see, he used the thorn as the Lord's instrument. It could be various thorns this morning again. It could be an infirmity. It could be a sickness. It could be a situation. It could be a sin. He doesn't tell us. He's using it to show us that any thorn in our life could be used as that. He's using it as God's tool. He makes it weak. And then Paul goes on to only boast in that weakness. He doesn't boast in himself. He doesn't boast in his plan or his travels or that he was beaten or that he was shipwrecked or anything like that. He boasts in the weakness that made him strong. You see, the word infirmities in Greek is asthenia, and it means strengthless, impotent, feebleness of the body and mind, and sickness. You see, when we can compare the Apostle Paul to the patriarchs of old, to Moses, to David, to Daniel, all the ones we think about. You see, when their weakness came, what did they do? They ran. They covered it up. They fell. God gloriously and miraculously raised many of them back up. What did the Apostle Paul do? He went to the Lord and prayed. This morning, I'm telling you, go to the Lord and figure out. Find out what that thorn is. Ask him what it is and let him use it in your life to mold you and make you. I gotta hurry. The power of Christ. Just give me 10 more minutes. The power of Christ. See, the phrase "the power of Christ may rest upon me" actually says the power of Christ may spread its tent over me. The power of Christ may spread its tent over me. This morning, church, I need the power of God to spread like a tent over me. I need him to be a shield about me. I need him to work around me and move things and open up doors for me and to protect me from things of this world. I need him to be a tent over me. You see, the tent of God spreads over us in our weakness, and we find his strength. And it's not a one-time act. It's not like a force field that we need, like some comic book character that we can invoke one at a time. It's always there. It's a finished work. It's been finished for you, and it's finished in him. You see, Paul only boasted of his infirmities, nothing in his own strength. It's already done. The work is already done. Jesus Christ already paid for the work. You as the believer this morning, you should rejoice in that. You see, because it doesn't matter what it costs. When we come down to the end, no matter how we pass out of this world, those things that we went through, they're not going to matter. Those things that we obtained, they're not going to matter. But what does matter is when I see him. Amen? What does matter is when I go and he judges me as a believer on this earth and what I did. You see, I want him to use those thorns in me to mold me, to make me into a tool for him. In closing, if you would stand with me, please. In closing, please stand. John 1:16 says, "And in the fullness have all we received grace for grace." And that there in the Greek should have been translated grace upon grace. Again, portraying that he is rich in grace. There's more grace out there than we're ever going to know what to do with. Like waves crashing on the beach, there's grace enough for you. You see, if God's going to permit the challenge, if God is going to permit that thing in your life, that thorn in your flesh, God's going to provide the grace to meet that. He's going to provide the grace to meet that need for you. He's going to provide the thing that you need at that moment. And again, he's got a never-exhausting supply of grace. It's enough for every problem in your life. It's enough for every fear that you've gone through. It's enough for every tear that you've cried. It's enough to forgive you, believer, adult, young person, listening by CD, listening by the internet. It's enough to forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. His grace is sufficient for you. You see, we can't expect anything less from God because God is all that he is. He is all grace. And if we come his way, he's going to provide what he said he would for us. You see, we can't expect anything less because he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to call you to him, to provide everything that you need at the foot of Calvary in your life, to atone for all sin that you ever committed, to provide everything that we need on earth, to provide all victory that we need to find on this earth, to live victorious for him. He provided it at the foot of the cross. Everything you need is found in Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection, a completed, finished, all atoning work done for you, done for me, done for the human race, mankind. You see that those famous words, "'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." This morning, I want grace to lead you home. I want grace to lead you to Jesus Christ. I want grace to sanctify you in Jesus Christ. I want grace to sustain you in everything you need in Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, with reverence to what the Lord is doing right now, with reverence to the Holy Spirit and how he's moving in this service, I don't know the heart and life of everybody this morning. So this morning I'm asking you, do you need him this morning? He's calling out to you right now, and he's saying, "I want to be your Savior. Will you call me King of Kings? Will you repent of your sins? Will you call me Savior?" You see, all we have to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, and he'll graciously, through that work of grace, come down and save us out of everything that we need with just the raising of a hand. If you want to find him as your Savior this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything to call you out. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, a raising of that hand. Would you say, "Brother Chris, I want to be saved this morning. I want to be saved. I want to know him as my personal Lord and Savior." If you're listening by CD, by the internet right now, as those in the audience are praying about this, if you're listening by CD, wherever you are, you can make that change right now. You can call upon him as your Lord and Savior. You can ask him to forgive you of your sins. You can confess that he is your King of Kings, that he is your Lord, that he is your Savior, and you can choose to go a different way. Just a few more minutes. Is there anyone in the congregation that just by lifting up their hand would say, "Brother Chris, I want to be saved this morning"? Moving on, believer, he's talking to you this morning. He's providing you grace today. He's letting you know that his grace is sufficient, that God has grace enough to work on your behalf, whatever your situation is. You see, God wants to pour out his grace upon you. He wants to pour it out in your life. He wants to pour it out in your situation. He is rich in grace. God wants to move on your behalf. But see, after he moves and provides that grace and provides that power, he wants to use you as a tool. He wants to get you to the state where he can use you for his ministry, for his work, that he can manifest himself in you. Believer, this morning, just by lifting of your hand, Do you want God to use you this morning? Do you want that grace to use you? Just by lifting of your hands today. Lord Jesus, I want you to use me. Yes, I see those hands across this building. Just a few more minutes. God, use me. Perform that grace in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, move and work over this congregation right now. Move in our hearts and lives. Perform the work that you can only do, that we in flesh and that this weak man of God cannot do. Perform by the power of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Can you just lift your hands this morning? Can we just worship him as a church this morning, Lord? Lord Jesus, we come to you. We thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, for what you've done. Lord, we're asking that you would pour your grace out individually, Lord Jesus, among each one of the believers in this congregation right now. Lord, that you would pour your grace out on this ministry, Lord God, that you would help us and show us and bring us down to what you need, Lord God, to use us not only individually, Lord Jesus, but as a ministry unto your work, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, the Holy Spirit's just stopping me for a minute. Believer, if you're out there and you need anything from God, I ask you that you pray to him right now. You see, I don't have to come lay hands on you. That's all good and well, and that's a good thing that we do. But God hears your prayers. He's heard those prayers in your life, and he wants to move and act in your life right now. I'm just going to ask you just for a moment, just give those prayers out to him that you need. I just feel an abundance of his grace working in the life of the believer today. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for who you are, for what you've done. Lord, we know there's needs out there today. We know that you're moving in hearts and lives. We know that you're performing the work that you need to perform right now. We know that you've provided this thorn in the flesh, Lord God. For whatever reason, Lord Jesus, you've chose to give us whatever this thorn is. Lord, we're asking that you would provide the grace right now, Lord. That you would provide the grace in us, Lord Jesus, through what you did on the cross, through the method of faith and grace in you, Lord, to provide what we need. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I ask that you would be with the believer today, with the Christian today, Lord. This message would go forth and resonate in them, Lord Jesus, throughout the week. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are, for what you've done, Lord. And this morning, I just ask that you would go in grace and power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're dismissed this morning. Thank you for coming. We appreciate you being here. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. And come back and be with us next week. Amen.